Zanis Urbanovich comes to the Kurapati forest at least twice a week. Sometimes he runs his hands over the simple wooden crosses put up by activists on the site of the mass graves. They dot the soft forest ground as far as the eye can see. Most of the crosses are several meters high. Some are attached to tree trunks. Some crookedly stick out of the forest floor like rusty nails. Despite the quiet, the place doesn't give Zanis peace.
Usually, it smells like pine needles and leaves in the woods. But here, you have the feeling that thousands of candles are burning.
The forest was the site of mass murder when Belarus was part of the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin had between 30,000 and 250,000 people shot here in the late 30s and early 40s. They were declared enemies of the state, but in reality, they were innocent victims of the Soviet dictator's purges, carried out by the secret police. Zanis came here the first time with his father when he was 15. His great-granduncle, a teacher, is one of the victims buried here.
I can't just give this place up. I don't know how I could ever close my eyes to Kurapati. I won't be able to sleep at night if I do. When I come here, something shifts inside me. I start thinking differently.
But not everyone is so haunted by the past. Kurapati lies directly on a highway and next to a large restaurant complex called Poyedim Poyedim. Let's go and eat. It's a family restaurant where locals come to have a good time and celebrate birthdays. The restaurant is the reason Zanis comes here every weekend, not to eat, but to protest. He's shocked that people come to dine and enjoy themselves just meters from where tens of thousands were murdered. Along with around 15 other activists, he blocks the road to guests driving up to the restaurant and hands them flyers through their car windows. The leaflets detail the atrocities that took place nearby. Zanis wants the restaurant closed.
Some of the visitors are aware of where they're going, and some aren't. And some people don't mind eating on bones.
In nearby Minsk, not everyone has heard of the restaurant or even the mass killings at Kurapati. But those in the know have strong opinions.
So now people go to a spot where people were killed to have a good time? I don't think it's right.
It depends where the restaurant is. It's not in the middle of the crosses, is it? If it's somewhere on the edge, near the exit, I think that's fine. Things here in Minsk are in order.
There are bones everywhere in Belarus. We don't know everything that happened here, but life has to go on.
The opening of the restaurant around a year ago was controversial, and the owner doesn't want to talk to us. We're not given permission to go beyond the driveway. Security guards sometimes have to escort customers through the gate and past the protesters. They call this the Restaurant of Death. And since it opened, different groups of activists have been standing outside the entrance in shifts. Zanis Urbanovich is the chairman of the Young Front, a nationalistic youth movement pushing for democratic change. He's a well-known activist, and his group is here on weekends. The wiry 29-year-old has been in prison several times for protesting against the country's autocratic government. Belarus has often been described as Europe's last dictatorship. And Zanis points out that President Alexander Lukashenko regularly praises Stalin's legacy. He sees the restaurant as another sign the government is encroaching on Kurapati and trampling on the memory of those who died here. The activists say the official border of the mass grave was moved so the restaurant could be built.
Every year, they destroy a tiny bit more. They cut off a section of the woods here, they widen the road there, they build something else. And Kurapati gets smaller and smaller.
There was an outcry when the authorities recently removed dozens of the wooden crosses, which they say were put up illegally by activists. A low fence has been built around the whole area. President Lukashenko says the restaurant's location doesn't bother him. but he says he wants the memory of the victims to be honored and has repeatedly talked about cleaning up Kurapati and keeping politics out of the memorial.
We have to have a plan on how to finally finish fixing up Kurapati. But no one should be able to do anything here without permission. What's going on here are demonstrations. They must be in someone's interest. These are political protests.
Over the years, the forest has been a focus of opposition activity, partly because knowledge of the mass graves was only made public in 1988, just before the end of the Soviet Union. At the time, they became a symbol of regime oppression. Until now, Kurapati has been an impromptu people's memorial. It was only 6 months ago that the government set up an official monument in the forest to the victims of Stalin's secret police, presumably as part of Lukashenko's effort to fix up the site. Most of the activists outside the restaurant are ending the day with a prayer. Some of them are draped in Belarusian flags. The crosses and trees cast soft shadows in the evening sun. The activists have been protesting against the restaurant for a year, and they don't plan on stopping. To them and Zenis, any encroachment on this site is an attack on the people of Belarus.
We don't really have anything of our own anymore, but we do have Kurapati. They are here, and we have to defend them. If the government destroys Kurapati, I won't call myself a Belarusian anymore.
Their song is a prayer for the dead. But Zenis Urbanovich has demands for the living as well. The government still prevents access to relevant archives from the Soviet era and has never carried out extensive archaeological excavations here. Zenis wants the truth about what happened in Kurapati to be fully revealed, to shed light on the fate of tens of thousands of murdered Belarusians. But many here would prefer the dark side of their communist past to remain buried. Emily Sherwin, DW, Minsk.
Я хай тебе вся Беларусь, отдай свое сердце и лёс, приди у я еды дворы, у вёски приди у города.